You have your Bibles with you this morning. Let me encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're going, what? We could leave? I remember when I was a kid, we'd have loved that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning, what I want us to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time. I don't know, you can't tell from that video, but what we're going to talk about is God's gift to the church. God's gift to the church. And so we're going to read just a few of these verses together. Let me encourage you, if you're physically able, to stand in honor of God's word as we read it this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we study Your Word this morning, we are open, we are hearing. The answer is already yes. Just tell us what You would do and what You'd have us do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in this passage, give you a little bit of background. The Corinthian church was a mess, right? I mean, they had all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, stuff we wouldn't even... If we preached, and someday maybe I'll preach through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll have to give a disclaimer, make sure we release the kids from children's church before we get to a certain part of the book. But they had a mess going on. They were fighting with one another. They were fighting for the spotlight. They were arguing over who was the best, who was the highest, who had the highest position in the church, on and on and on it goes. But in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul begins with a formula that whenever you read it in the book of 1 Corinthians, you know he's actually responding to a question they've asked him. So we know there was some correspondence back and forth between Paul and the church at Corinth, even after he was there. So now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, in your version of the Bible, you may notice that the word gifts is in italics. Whenever you see that in your Bible, what it means is that that word is not in the original Greek language that the New Testament was written in. It's been inserted so that we can understand things easier in English. It doesn't mean you can't trust your English Bible. It doesn't mean that somebody's monkeyed with the text. Can I say monkeyed with the text on Monkey Island? I don't know if that's okay. But sometimes we need to have those words inserted so that we can understand in English what they were trying to communicate in the Greek language. So they've asked him this question. Paul, what is the greatest gift the Holy Spirit can give? What is the greatest gift? And so Paul responds with, I believe, this description of God's gift to the church. And first and foremost, the gift is his revelation. Look at verses 1 and 2. He says, I don't want you to be unaware. Now, what he means is the word literally there is ignorant. But in English, ignorance sometimes takes on a negative connotation. We think we're being insulting. What he was saying was, I don't want you to be sitting back thinking you know something, not sure if you know something, unsure of yourself, or unsure of what God's word says. So God gave them a revelation through Paul, just as he is giving us today his revelation through Paul, so that we can know that what's in his word tells us about who he is and how he is, and it tells us more about who we are and how we are to be. So God's first gift to the church is his revelation. Now, I know we might want to be tempted to split hairs a little bit and say, well, of course he had to give us his revelation, because if it were not for him giving us his word, we would know nothing about him. But actually, that's not true from Scripture. Psalm 119 and Romans 1 both say that God has given proof of his existence in what he made. The problem is, there's only enough revelation of God in creation to damn us, not to save us. And because God created us, and because God loves us, he did not want to leave us in that condition. And so he gave us his revelation. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. How many of you have ever thought, man, I wish I lived in the Old Testament when God spoke and, hello, this is God. I'm sure that's what his voice sounds like. Have you ever thought that? Man, I wish that I lived back then so I could. You really? Because when people heard God speak back then, they passed out. Right? You remember when God was giving them the Ten Commandments on the mountain? God spoke from the top of the mountain, and they're all like, okay, we don't want to hear from him anymore. We're going to die. You remember when Isaiah got to see the vision of the throne room of heaven in Isaiah chapter 6? What happened to him? He fell on his face. He said, I'm dead. I'm sinful. And I live amongst sinful people. And regardless of whatever I do, I and my people are even unclean in just what we say. Remember Daniel? The angel shows up to Daniel. Daniel passes out. On and on the list goes. So what we have here, and God's gift to his church, to us, is his revelation. What we have right here is the Word of God. This does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Every single word that's here in this book is here because God spoke it, he inspired it, he wanted it, he's protected it, and he's keeping it, and he's communicating it to you and me. So we don't need to wish that we were back in the Old Testament to hear from God. This will just blow your mind. Open your Bible or click it, swipe it, whatever you do to turn it on, and you get to hear from God right then. But he doesn't just give them this revelation. We see that in verses 1 and 2. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. I think what Paul's saying there is, God is not a mute idol. He speaks. And he gives us his revelation. By the way, do you know that one of the reasons I believe that we need to get serious about Bible translation work in our world is we still have 3,000 people groups with no scripture in their language? Imagine opening your Bible and the letters on the page just look like a jumbled mess of nothing. That's what they experience. So he didn't just give his revelation. Look at verse 3. He also gives himself. You see this? Look at this. Therefore, I make known. I'm getting excited. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. When a person gives their life to Jesus and says he is Lord, that's proof the Holy Spirit is there. There's no kind of second anointing. There's no kind of second later baptism. It's if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've given him your life, the reason you did that is because the Spirit drew you. God gave you a faith to believe. And that's married together with our decision to follow Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is in every single believer. There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Waiting for, hoping for, maybe someday the Holy Spirit will come on me. No. Jesus is Lord. when you say that and mean it from a heart that feels that conviction, that's the Spirit. And by the way, let's just make sure we're singing off the same sheet of music. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes on us, that's God. His greatest gift to the church is Himself. By the way, what greater gift could He give? There's nothing greater than God. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more loving, nothing more knowing, nothing more just than Himself. And so He gives His revelation to the church. He gives Himself to the church. And this is what I love. And this is something that actually gets us in a little bit of trouble in church world. He gives us, His gift to the church is His love of variety. Look at verses 4 through 6. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. By the way, if you're the type that writes in your Bible, let me encourage you to just circle the word Spirit there. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Let me encourage you to circle that. And then there are varieties of effects, but the same God, circle that, who works all things in all persons. You know what I find here so interesting is the word varieties mentioned three times, and each time a different person of the Godhead. Why do you find that interesting? Well, first of all, the word varieties here means a disbursement. Now, back in the olden days, when you signed on to work on a ship, you signed up and basically you worked for free every day. They fed you and you had a place to sleep if you ever got to do that. And when you got to the place you were going and the cargo was sold and the money was paid, the paymaster got this pot of money and he would disperse the payment to each worker according to their station and arrangement. That's the same word here. There's a disbursement. What's being dispersed? Well, there are different gifts. Not everybody has the same gift. I realize I might be stepping on some toes here, but there are some denominations that insist that if you're truly saved, you're going to get the same gift. Not what I read. There are varieties of gifts. And aren't we thankful? Can you imagine a room this big and everybody's gift was preaching? We'd never go home. But in this church, we have right now people working with kids. I'm thankful for those gifts, aren't you? I mean, by the way, children are gifts too. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for those who work with them. I'm thankful for those who God has laid it upon their heart and they can communicate with them on their level in ways they understand. Because if they had to sit through this, they'd be asleep like you are. They're different gifts, and I'm thankful for that. You know why I'm thankful for that? Because that means more ministry gets to happen. By the way, sometimes we use different gifts in the same ministry. There are varieties of ministries too. How many of you have ever sat under a Sunday school teacher that had the gift of teaching? Yeah, you know how you can tell a Sunday school teacher with the gift of teaching? Normally, there'll be some visual aids. There'll be some stories told. There'll be some application given. And there will be a true desire in looking for understanding and the ability to live it out. But did you know people can still teach with a different gift? You know, a teacher that has a gift of mercy, you know what their teaching will look like? There'll be a long period of sharing prayer requests and praying for one another. There'll be a lesson, and it will be good, but then there'll be a follow-up afterwards to see how you're doing and how it's going. There'll be that sense of connection. There are people who teach with the gift of prophecy. You know what that class looks like? Blah! If you got it, you got it. I said it. That's good enough. There are teachers that teach with the gift of administration or help. You know what that Sunday school class looks like? Everybody has everybody's phone number and addresses, and this person's the care coordinator, and this person's the event coordinator, and this person's this, and this person's that, and this person's this. And the class moves and operates very smoothly, and they're all connected, and everybody knows what's going on all the time because that's their gift. But there are varieties of gifts. But what's the source of the gift? The Spirit. There are varieties of ministries. What's the source of the ministry? The Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. You know, in our world, we have been taught bigger is better. Right? I mean, wouldn't you rather be in a Sunday school class of 70 people than a Sunday school class of 4 people? Not me. I mean, that's just my heart. But we often think, I could never be Billy Graham. I could never share the gospel in a stadium full of people. So just share it with the person at the gas pump. Say, well, I could never pastor one of those mega churches. Okay, well then tell the person at the library that you meet every week about the change that God has made in you. Say, well, you know, I could never teach thousands of women like whoever your favorite lady teacher is. No, but you know what? You might be able to go to the nursing home or assisted living facility, whatever the proper term for that is, and meet together with 3 or 4 women who have no contact outside of that place. See, we've got to get past this idea that I'm nobody if I don't have a huge crowd around me. Because there was only one Billy Graham. There was only one Apostle Paul. And God doesn't hold you accountable for what he gifts someone else with. But we will give an answer for what he trusted us with. But I love that he loves variety. Think about this for a moment. You realize everything could be one color? And I don't mean just skin colors. Everything could be one color. Even sometimes colorblind people can see shades of gray. Here's my personal favorite. How many of you are thankful that God gave us different tastes? You know, God could have just said, here's what's going to happen. Every morning, you're going to feel this sensation of a pill sliding down your throat, and that's your nutrition for the day. No, I get it. If the astronauts have to do that, that's their deal. But I like steak. Anybody? I like steak. Yeah. Anybody like good, cool, crisp vegetables? Yeah. How about, I'm sure nobody here likes any kind of sweets. Yeah. Can you imagine all those different receptors that God built in our, why? Because he loves variety. All the colors of flowers and the differing of temperatures. Now, we have our desired range. But God is a God that loves variety. And that's why one of the things I find so interesting in church world is if we're not careful, we're trying to shove everybody into our mold. If you were just like me, we'd get along better. No, we wouldn't, because you don't even like you. But God loves variety. Look around the room. Look around the room. No, this is not rhetorical. Look around the room. I'm waiting till you look around the room. There are people in this room with blonde hair. There are people in this room with red hair. There are people in this room with brown hair. There are people in this room with black hair. There are people in this room with gray hair. There are people in this room that can't remember what color their hair was. There are people in this room don't have hair. Can I get an amen? God loves variety. There are some of people in this room that are cursed with height. Yeah, I'm not one of them. But God loves variety. And that's his gift to the church. And we need to be careful. We need to be really careful. Can I just be honest? One of the things I love about this church, I love about this church. I'm sure I'm just going to grow to love it even more and more and more, is the way that I see you giving up your preferences for one another. I see that. And just the short time I've been here, I think it's awesome. Because I think what it does is it acknowledges the dignity in difference and variety. Now, beyond that, we have not only his revelation, himself, his love of variety, but we also have his plan. The church has been given the great gift of his plan. That's what all those verses 7 through 11, that's what they all talk about. They're talking about different gifts. And we can have arguments about, are we going to be cessationalists, which means we think there's some gifts that have died out and God can't use those gifts anymore. Are we going to be continuists? Are we going to be continuous from the perspective of, we think, like some of the charismatic Pentecostal movement, that every gift of the Spirit has to be present in every service or we can't go home? Or are we going to be continuous saying God can do what God wants to do, where God wants to do it, because he's God? You can kind of tell where I lean. But here's the thing. Every one of those gifts was something the Corinthian church was struggling with, and they were what they were fighting over. Can you imagine that? Picture what that must be like. Can you imagine TJ standing there at the door talking to somebody with a cup of coffee in his hand, and I'm in a hurry to get in here, so I elbow him out of the way, spills his coffee all over him, burns his one good guitar hand, and just because I want to hurry up and get in here and worship Jesus. Really? No. See, here's the thing. In Corinth, they're wrestling with, okay, so if I have this gift, I get to be on in front of everybody. That makes me important. If I have this gift, I have to be behind. What do I do with that? And Paul says, look, God has a plan. And here's the thing. You ready for this? Blow your mind. God puts his church together the way he wants it. Here's why I get excited about that. Because if God puts you in a church, there's a reason for you to be there. Now, hear me say this. There are no extras in God's movie. Those people, they get to do their thing, and I'm just going to sit back. No, that's not the way it works. See, when God puts somebody in church, he has a ministry in that church that he wants the church to do. That's why he puts them there. There's also something he wants to do in their lives that they need the church for. And here's why that's so exciting. Because that means that there are probably ministries even in this church that we don't even know about yet. Okay, let me say that again because some of y'all are asleep. So there might be some ministries in this church that we don't even know about yet. Somebody comes and says, heard in Sunday school this morning. Said there's read a study that teenagers today in Oklahoma are homeless, and a lot of them are not considered homeless because they kind of stay on a couch at this friend's house until their parents get tired of that, and then they stay on a couch at this friend's house, and then they continue and continue and continue, and so they don't make it really into the homeless numbers. But what would happen if God got a hold of someone's heart and said, "Not on my watch"? You say, "Well, I don't know if we can do a ministry like that. We've never done that before." His plan. Look at verse 11. We'll close with this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Now, I skipped over a verse. Did you notice? Did you pick up on that? Go back to verse 7. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Common good. You know, the common good is kind of like cahoots. Do you know it's impossible to be in cahoots with yourself? You always have to be in cahoots with someone else, right? You know, is that not a term used up here a lot? Okay. So I can't be in cahoots by myself. I need other people to be in cahoots with. And by the way, when God gives you a gift, it's for the common good. How many of you have ever heard people say something like this? Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't know why they always say it in that southern drawl with kind of gravelly voice, but they always seem to do that. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, I said this last week, and maybe the week before that. I may not have to go to church to become a Christian, but if God's given me gifts and it's for the common good, the only place I can use those gifts the way they're intended is with others. That's his plan. And he puts it together the way he wants it. And here's the amazing thing about God. I have thrown many jigsaw puzzles away. Can I get an amen? God never throws them away. He always puts them together. You know why? Because he can see the big picture. You and I might get frustrated along the way because we don't understand where our piece fits. God knows. You say, but I'm not like anyone else in this church. Good. Good. If we needed a bunch of the same person, we'd have a bunch of the same person. But every single person here is part of his plan. And you are God's gift to his church. So look at the person sitting next to you and say, who do you think you are, God's gift to the church? Now look back at that person and say, yep. You are. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we can't miss out on the fact that it's not just the world. He did that for you. The only question you have to decide is, have you accepted that? Have you believed that God loved you so much? He sent his son to live a perfect life for you, to die on the cross in your place, and to rise again on the third day, winning the victory for you. And are you willing to place the full weight of your future on that reality? Because here's the thing. When God saves someone, the Spirit lives in them. When the Spirit lives in them, there's a gift they have. That gift has been given for the common good and is part of God's plan. So if you haven't yet accepted that gift, why not today? So you can be a gift. God has a plan. And he brought you here today to hear this message. Maybe because you need to accept that gift and believe in him. But also maybe because maybe you've held yourself back from being that gift to the church. And today's the day that God says, no more. Plug in. Become a part of where you worship. Find out and discover the gifts that God has given you and how they can be used for the common good. Who's God's gift to the church? You are. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning just mindful of your word. We've only just scratched the surface. I know there's so much more that we could have said. There's so much more that we could have dug into. But God, I believe we've heard your message this morning, which is simply that you love us. You love us so much that you have given us your revelation in your word, and you want us to know you. You've given the church yourself in your spirit. You love variety. And I thank you that as I look around this room, there are very different people. Some of them may want to use that difference as a reason that they can't be saved. But I pray, God, that you would draw them to yourself. Father, I pray too, because I know there are some people here that maybe it's because of hurt, maybe it's because of neglect, whatever it might be. They came to church today and they're really just sitting back and looking, trying to see what happens here. I pray, God, that today would be the day that you would tell them you have a place for them in this church and a ministry for them to be involved in. Father, I know that there are many, many people experiencing things that we don't know anything about, but you do. And so, Father, if you brought them here to encounter you and to be prayed for and ministered to, Father, we pray that they would come and say, "Would you pray for me?" Father, we believe you've spoken. Give us feet to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.